were not here last night. Oh, good. Great. Super. I just found out that I was to give this presentation, and so not having time to sort of prepare something, thought I'd just redo what we did last night, because it had to do with Lord Nisringadev and protection. We may have the slides to go with it, or we may not. If the computer's going to be cantankerous here. In any case, I can just give it from here. We have to. It's not registered, but it's hooked up. That's the problem. I think before we did it from this one here, didn't we? If it, oh, that one. Let's see if it registers here. It's not showing that it's hooked up. That's the problem. Anyway, I can start talking and maybe it'll... Okay. And it's not giving me the option to display. So this is called Circle of Protection. And, you know, even though we're devotees and we're living in the temple, and our main business is worshiping the deities and discussing Krishna, it's hard not to be aware of all the hype which goes on around us about, you know, gang violence and the dangers of living in the city, the dangers of drunk drivers, terrorist attacks. When I lived in Los Angeles for 10 years as a life membership director, there was, for some time, there were freeway shootings going on. And you would cut someone off in traffic, and then they would pull aside abreast of you and then shoot you. And during those times, a bumper sticker became very popular. It said, I'm sorry, please don't shoot. So, you know, we reflect our environment. That's the whole point. We reflect the environment in which we live, and we're living in Kali Yuga, which is a very, very tense, stressful age. And it's incumbent upon us as devotees not to be affected by the tenseness, and the fear which surrounds our modern day society. But it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Masu Jaham, he gives us a direct order. You shouldn't worry. You shouldn't be stressed out. You shouldn't be tense. You shouldn't worry about a drunk driver or a terrorist or a disease, because nobody has the power to enter into your circle of protection, which Krishna has established for you, without the permission of God. Nobody can hurt you without the permission of God. Look at Holika, for instance. She had a benediction from Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, that she couldn't be burned by fire. Now, most people, if they had a benediction like that, they would use it to do good. Imagine the potential for doing good if you had a benediction that you wouldn't be burned by fire. You would keep your CB radio on to the police channel and the fire channel, and whenever there was a fire and there were people in there, you would go to the scene and you would walk in and you would carry them out. You would get your picture on the front page of the paper. You could do that on an almost daily basis. If there were 10 building people in a building, you'd go in 10 times and come out. You'd get the President's Award, the Humanitarian of the Year Award. You could save countless lives. But not Holika. No, no, no. Typical of the demon, she got a boon and she just used it for ghastly, horrible acts instead of to benefit her fellow living beings. She used it to burn babies. She would walk in the fires and then the babies would be immolated and she'd walk out. And she did all this on the strength of a benediction from Lord Brahma. But then when she came into contact with Prahlad Maharaj, whose shelter was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he had the backing of none other than the Supreme Personality of God, who creates millions and millions of Brahmas. You know, one time, you know this story, Brahma went to the spiritual world, he wanted to talk to Krishna, and he said, tell him that Brahma's here, and then they said, well, which Brahma? And Lord Brahma said, you mean there's other Brahmas than me? There's other universes than mine? And then after the darshan of Lord Krishna called all the Brahmas from all the various universes into the room, and Brahma was astounded at how many Brahmas there were, how many universes there were. And whereas he had four heads, many of the Brahmas had more heads, and they were older, and they were wiser, and they were stronger, and their universes were bigger than our particular universe. After that, he said, you know, before I was thinking I was the only Brahma, and mine was the only universe, and I was a big cheese. Now, in this room full of Brahmas, I'm feeling like a mosquito in a herd of elephants. So when they missed the miscreant, Holika, who was backed by the benediction of Lord Brahma, confronted and tried to do harm to the five-year-old Prahlad, who was backed by the promise of protection of Krishna, guess what gave? It was the protection of Lord Brahma it gave. And so that on this occasion, when she took Prahlad, and Prahlad was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, they entered into the fire, then Krishna's promise held up, and Brahma's promise caved. Brahma's promise caved. And Holika was burned, and Prahlad came out. And from that we get this holy festival. The festival is named after that. In Western countries, a lot of time, if you ask people, students, kids, tour groups, which most represents God to you, creator, maintainer, or destroyer? Most kids will say creator. To them, God is the creator. Some will say destroyer, and hardly anyone will say creator. I mean, preserver. But when you think about it, let's say you're building a house. You buy the land, and then you hire a contractor to put up your house. And the contractor, after the house has been constructed, he can quite truthfully claim that he built the house. He can. It's not untrue that he created the house. However, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have been empowered or enabled to have done it if you hadn't paid him. And similarly, after living in the house for some time, you may decide that you want to tear it down and put something else up there. And so you hire a demolition company. And after the house is demolished, the head of the demolition company can say, I destroyed the house. And there's nothing untrue in that. It's true. He destroyed the house just like the contractor built the house. But if you want to look a little further, you'll see that neither the contractor, neither the creator, nor the demolition people, the destroyers, actually was the prime factor. That in fact it was the people who inhabited, who preserved, who maintained the house in the interim period, who empowered the construction people to build it, and who also paid the demolition people to destroy it. So the highest aspect of Godhead is contained in the idea of the preserver, or Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the preserver. And along with preserving and entering into all the universes and pervading everything with his power, his main concern, he pervades and supports the spiritual worlds, the material worlds, 8,400,000 species of life, primitive tribesmen, even atheists who decry God. God does not begrudge them their support. But while doing all this business of preserving through the agency of Lord Vishnu, the prime preservation that the Lord is interested in, every once in a while, you know, it's time for the universe to be destroyed. It's time for the universe to be annihilated. But there is one classification, there's one area of interest where there's never any annihilation that takes place. And that's when it comes to the Lord's preservation and protection of His devotees. He says, Sipram Bhavati Dharmatma Sasvik Chantim Digan Konteya Pratijanahi Ma Name Bhakta Pranasati. Declare it boldly, O Arjuna. You can't even say that of this material universe. You cannot declare it boldly that it will never perish, because it has a point of beginning, maintenance, and then annihilation at last. But you can say it of the devotees of the Lord, declare it boldly, O Arjuna, that my devotees will never, ever perish. So around each and every devotee, there is a circle of protection which the Lord creates. And nobody, what to speak of Lord Brahma, what to speak of demons like Holika, no drunk driver, no puny drunk driver, no fanatic terrorist, No sickness, no cancer cell can enter that circle of protection unless it's with the permission of the Lord. That reminds me of a joke I saw the other day. This guy had a vest on with full of explosives and a detonator, and he had two or three other students around him. And he said, "Pay attention, I'm only going to do this once." So nobody can penetrate that circle of protection without the permission. In other words, there would be a reason for it. It'll be done not to you, but it'll be done for your ultimate benefit, for the development of your character. Harishchandra was a great devotee of ancient times, and Vishwamitra wanted to test him. He wanted to take away his wealth. He wanted to separate him from his wife and child and put him through fire. And before he was able to do that, he had to take permission to do that. And permission was given because the Lord knew that Harishchandra would glorify him in the process of withstanding all the tests to which Vishwamitra was going to put him to. So if we're devotees, in spite of the atmosphere of Kali Yuga, we should follow the order of the Lord, Masujaha. We should not worry about any of these things. We should not lose any sleep over it. We should not stress out over it. We should not even give it a thought. That the Lord who created the material and the spiritual worlds, who has entered into everything, who is fully present with each and every atom, if He doesn't want anyone to harm me and my loved ones, then there isn't any power which can penetrate that circle of protection. He is my Lord. He is my protector. He is my shield, my strong tower. He is my fortress. And when He is with you, as He promises that He is in the Bhagavad Gita, shielding you from every evil, then when you leave and when you return, nothing bad will happen to you. Now and in the future, nothing bad will happen to you. So we shouldn't live worried about safety, about health, about accidents, about harm. Look at all the things that his atheistic, tyrannical father subjected Prahlad Maharaj to. Hiranyakashipu had conquered the universe, as you know. He had also had a benediction, just as his sister had a benediction from Brahma. He also had a benediction. And his benediction was that he couldn't be killed inside the house or outside of the house, in the land or the air, by day or by night, by any man or beast or by any weapon. Anything I'm leaving out here? That pretty much covers it. So on the strength of these benedictions, he went ahead, abusing and terrorizing the universe, and defeated the demigods, and even occupied the throne of Indra, the king of heaven. And here's a five-year-old boy. Now, Prahlad could have played it safe. Quote, unquote, safe. You know, just like we might play it safe. Okay, here I am. Some or other I've taken birth in a race of demons. My friends are demons. My teachers are demons. My dad's a demon. And not only are they demons, but they're really heady now. They're really chuffed with themselves because they've just ousted the demigods. And so they're thinking that their path of atheism and demonism and dog-eat-dog and survival of the fittest and rely on your own powers and don't waste time, blah, 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 worshiping an invisible man. They're really convinced right now, just as people are often convinced when they're prosperous, they're convinced that their God or their way of life is the way, and the prosperity is the proof that they're right. So not only were they demons by inclination, but right now they were absolutely convinced that theirs was the philosophy, and the philosophy of theism had weakened the demigods to the point that they were overthrown. And now the truly strong, the ones who are meant to be sovereign, you see, who don't waste any time with mumbo jumbo and worship and bowing down, they were in the position that they should be in. So here's a five-year-old boy amongst all this, and you would have thought in many other cases someone would play it safe. You know, I'm gonna not reveal my cards. I'm not gonna provoke these people. I'm gonna play it safe. I'll wait until I'm 16, and then I'll get an apartment somewhere, you know, and then I'll chant Hare Krishna, you know, and then I'll go on Sankirtan like that. You know, I'll put it off because it probably may not be too healthy for me to chant Hare Krishna in this kind of an environment. Well, he didn't play it, quote unquote, safe. He knew what safe is. Safe is to take shelter of the Lord who's still on his throne, who's still the Lord of the universe, and who's still fully present within each and every atom, and who always promises that nobody, no matter how powerful he is in the material estimation, can cause harm to his devotee. So that's how Prahlad played it safe. You know, he could have not tried to teach Krishna consciousness to his schoolmates. He would have thus avoided agitating his teachers. He would have thus avoided coming to the attention of his father. He could have said, okay, I'm not going to spread Krishna consciousness. I'm not going to agitate or aggravate or provoke, but I'll do it myself in my quiet time. I'll just chant on my own. And he might have, you know, not provoked them in that way, but he just went all out. He held nothing back because he was fully dependent, fully trusting on the Lord to protect his devotees. So not only did he make no secret of chanting himself, but he expended every effort to convert to the process of chanting the holy name his schoolmates, his teachers. And so he set himself on a course whereby sooner or later he would come into direct confrontation with his father. And then having done all that, everybody knows a father has a soft spot for their son. So chanting Hare Krishna himself, preaching to the sons, agitating the teachers, when he was sitting on his father's lap and his father was smelling his head, he could have still avoided a confrontation by kind of underplaying it to his dad or making a promise that he had no intention of keeping. You know, how many of you, when your dad asked you to do something, you know, you said, okay, I'll do it, and you had no intention of keeping that promise whatsoever. You know, you just wanted to get through the next 5 minutes, you know, and get the keys to the car, whatever you had to do that. Yeah. So Prahlad could have, you know, he could have pacified his father and downplayed it. But instead, he says, my dear Asarava, fool number one, demon number one, you are pursuing those things which are temporary. You like a man who has fallen in a well in the middle of the forest. And as you can cry out as much as you want, your power, your prestige, your family members, your soldiers, they'll not be able to help you. You're just like someone that's fallen into a well. Anda kupam. And just saying the words that are just most calculated to cause him to go ballistic. You know, and true to form, he did not disappoint. He put Prahlad in a pit of venomous cobras. Prahlad was just chanting. The cobras were going. Then he threw him into a fire, a blazing hot fire, into a cauldron full of oil, and then. Finally, when the Lord could no longer stand it, the harassment that Hiranyakashipu was administering to his son, then of course they ended up on the porch, and Hiranyakashipu had a frustration. Where do you get your powers from? I've defeated Kubera, I've defeated Varuna, I've defeated Indra, I've defeated Yamaraj. Why I can't defeat this 5-year-old boy? And Prahlad says, you know, I am supported by Krishna. My power comes from Krishna. Your power comes from Krishna as well. All power comes from Krishna. So if there's power to protect me, that is the power of Krishna fulfilling his promise that he creates a hedge of protection around his devotees. And then, you know, Hiranyakashipu said, well, where is this God? He said, he's everywhere. Is he in this pillar? They're on the porch. And so the porch is, the roof is held up by big pillars. And Prahlad said yes, and then so Hiranyakashipu, he took his sword and he wound up like Barry Bonds, you know, the home run hitter in America. He wound up with his sword and he aimed a blow to end all blows at this pillar, and he said, I'll smash that pillar and then I'll smash you. And no sooner had the tip of his sword touched the edge of the pillar than this unearthly, supernatural, deafening, earth-shaking roar emanated from the core of the pillar. The pillar burst into smithereens, and out comes the most incredible being that's ever been beheld in the universe. This half-man, half-lion form of the Lord who has admitted himself to protect his 5-year-old devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. He stretches Hiranyakashipu across his lap, thus fulfilling the condition in Nyabikodan land or Ara Sea, but he's on the lap. It wasn't by day or by night, it was at twilight. It wasn't inside the house or outside the house, it was on the porch. It wasn't any man or beast, it was a half man, half lion. It wasn't any weapons, but it was the nails, the fingernails of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who Tavakara Kamalabhare Nakam Bhuta Shingham Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Bringam Yesavadita Narahari Rupam Jai Jagadish Hari Jai Jagadish Hari Jai Jagadish Hari. Just like a child takes a piece of straw and pierces, bifurcates the abdomen of a wasp. Similarly, in Sringadeva, he bifurcated the wasp known as Hiranyakashipu. And then afterwards, he asked Prahlad for a benediction. He said, "You've been so staunch and so faithful and so trusting in my promise that my devotees will never perish. I would like to recognize you. I'd like to give you something." And Prahlad says, "Mahamrita Magna Chitta, I don't require anything for myself because whenever I chant Hare Krishna, I'm submerged in an ocean of bliss. So for myself, I don't want anything. But do you think there's any remote possibility that any time in my father's, let's say, next 1,000 births, that he would have a chance of liberation, mukti? Do you think there's any possibility, however remote of that?" And Nrisingadev said, "He's already liberated. He's already liberated. Not only is he liberated, but 10 generations in the past and 10 generations in the future are liberated. Your son is liberated. Your grandson, Bali Maharaj, is liberated. Your father, Hiranyakashipu, is liberated. The circle of protection does not only extend to the devotee who's sheltering in the shadow of the Lord, but it also extends to your children, to your grandchildren, to generations that haven't even yet been born, to ancestors who may be suffering from who knows what sort of karmic complications. They're not, their souls, who knows where they are in this universe. Having been shackled by the reactions of karmic actions they might have performed. They're free. They're free. 10 generations in the past and 10 generations in the future. So this is an unparalleled offer of protection. There's no other protection you can get from doctors, from medical plans, they say diet, exercise, you know. But a lot of people diet and exercise die, you know. In fact, everybody who diet and exercises die. And their wife dies and their children dies. And accidents happen. In Utah, there's a famous guy named Doug Padilla. He's one of the, in his time, he was one of the best marathoners in the world. Went to the Olympics a number of times and all like that. And he would often be seen running. In Utah, he was a coach at the BYU long distance runners and all. So he's out one time at 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, it's a summer morning, so it's not dark out. It's not dark out. It's broad daylight. How many cars are on the road at 5 o'clock in the morning? There's no cars on the road at 5 o'clock in the morning. And if there were a car, they could see him very plainly. And he comes to an intersection where the light is red. So he's running at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's like one car in the whole county. And he's crossing the intersection and the car hits him. Breaks almost, you know, 20 bones in his body. Never run again like he did. So what other protection? Broad daylight, sparsity of traffic, exercise program, health program, medical program, the best doctors, the best surgeon. What other offer of protection is there out there on the table that compares to this? That if you simply chant the names of the Lord and get near to the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you shelter under His wings, so to speak, not only are you saved from terrorist attacks and drunk drivers and gangs and diseases, but your relatives and your friends are saved. Now, you might have a teenage son that you're starting to get worried about. You might actually have a teenage son that you're starting to get worried about, starting to hang with the wrong crowd, starting to talk back to you and all like that. So you're concerned about that, and you want to turn them in a better direction and get them better association. And you're worried about that, and you're starting to lose sleep about that. But it's indicated from the story of Prahlad Maharaj that if you simply immerse yourself, turn it up a little bit in your own devotional practices, if you move yourself closer to the Lord and thicken that circle of protection, something will happen to bring your child out of that tailspin. Something will happen to bring him back on the right path. This is the promise of the Lord. And the more that we glorify the Lord, the thicker that circle of protection becomes for us and for our loved ones. It's said that the most common words heard in the English language are I and mine. People are always talking about themselves and they're always talking about their possessions. They're always bragging on themselves and they're bragging about the possessions. Ishwaraham aham bhogi. I control this and I control that and I enjoy this property and I enjoy this car and I enjoy this position and I enjoy this accolades in the newspaper. They're always talking in terms of them and their possession. So spiritual life doesn't mean to snuff that out or repress that. You have permission to brag. As a spiritualist, you have permission to brag, but brag on Krishna. That my God is great, that Krishna is great, that Krishna is good, that His works are wonderful and marvelous to behold, that Krishna gave us this beautiful temple. Do you know that I bought this building in 1975 for $170,000? And I talked to an Indian man who had just completed, maybe I shouldn't be divulging this information, is it okay? Alright. I talked to an Indian man, he'd just done an appraisal, and he's presenting it, I think, before the council or something later on. I don't know what for what part. He's just done an official appraisal of this property. It's worth $12 million. God is great. God is great. We bought it for $100,000, and I figured the increase in value every year that we've held this property to the present, the increase in value of the property has been somewhere around $400,000. Over the course of, 35 years since we acquired it. So you want to brag on something? Brag on Krishna. Brag on Krishna. That He has given this wonderful temple, and it's increasing in value. And when I was here, there were not so many devotees. There's devotees. There's programs. There's wonderful prasadam. There are children growing up, second and third generations. God is great. When we used to go out and distribute books and collect money for Back to Godheads, we used to be harassed by the Melbourne City Council. They spent tens of thousands of dollars to get us off the streets. The Lord Mayor made a personal promise that if he didn't get us off the streets, he would step down as the mayor of Melbourne. Yeah. He considered us public enemy number one. You know? And it was a guy named Squarejaw that issued, 12 to 20 tickets every single day. Some of us had 50 citations for collecting money and disturbing the peace and all like that. You know, Prabhupada referred to it in lectures in America and in Europe and Singapore about how we were being harassed in Melbourne, Australia. And I was told recently that the city council has formally requested us to do more Sankirtan. God is great. My God is a great God. My God is a great God. I'm going to brag on Him about His wonders, which are marvelous to behold. And by doing that, the more you brag on Him, the thicker that circle of protection gets. I read a couple of months ago on the internet, there was a plane that went down in Russia. I don't know whether they ever figured it was a terrorist doing or just a fault, but 100 plus people were killed. And there were two devotees that had bought tickets on that very plane. And on the way to the airport, they got stuck in a traffic jam and they missed the plane. And that plane went down and everyone perished. So my God is a great God. And, you know, it's not always in a dramatic way that we're protected. Prahlad Maharaj was quite dramatically protected and saved by Nrisimhadeva. But how do you know how many times in a single day the Lord has saved your life and saved your limbs and saved those who are near and dear to me? Protection means direction. So we should thank the Lord every day for all the things that didn't happen. for the disease that I didn't get and my children didn't get, my wife didn't get, for the drunk driver that didn't run into me or my family. There are many, many things that we don't know about whereby the Lord is working behind the scenes to protect us. How many times has He kept us from being in the wrong place at the wrong time? How many times have we come to an intersection and decided to turn left instead of right, and who knows what would have happened had we turned right instead of left? So let's thank Him for the things that we see, but also thank Him for the things that we don't see. This material world is a dangerous place. We're not minimizing that. Vipara santu tasha satatatata. It is a very dangerous place. There's danger at every step. So the fact that we've gotten to where we are in life and our loved ones have gotten to where we are in life means that the Lord is extending special protection to us, the devotees. And we need to stay inside that circle of protection. And by doing it ourselves, it will give the best chance to our relatives and our ancestors also to be protected from adverse circumstances. And even if you get outside of the circle of protection, it's not like, you know, a safe is going to fall on your head or a lightning bolt's going to hit you. Krishna says, what is that verse? Api ched saracharo vajatam mam ananyavak sadarevasa mantavya samyagvyavasito isad. He says, even if you get outside of the circle of protection, you get off the track, but if you're willing to get back into it, if you're willing to reform, then He'll cut you some slack. Look at the example of Ajamiya. He was inside the circle of protection when he was young. He got outside the circle of protection for like 60 years. I mean, way outside. Married a prostitute and committed crimes, even murder to maintain. But because he'd been in the circle of protection at the time of death, when he inadvertently shouted the name Narayan of his youngest son, the Yamadutas were prohibited. They were prevented from dragging him away for punishment. The Vishnudutas arrived. Just like, you know, if you're being attacked by gang members and you shout, police, 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 police. Oftentimes if they're in the area or if someone can call 911 on their cell phone, they'll come and they'll intervene and they'll stop the mugging. So as soon as he said, Narayan, the Vishnudutas arrived on the scene and they said, stop. The Yamadutas had never seen anything like this. And all the millions and Yamalam, Gacha, every second, millions and millions of living entities go to the abode of Yamaraj. And they're escorted by the Yamadutas. So they've done this many, many millions and tens of millions, and they've never seen anything like this happen. They said, who are you and what are you doing? You're telling us we can't drag this man for punishment? If anyone deserves punishment, it's this guy. He's done every crime in the book. What are you doing? And they said he chanted the name of Narayan one time. And that has counteracted more sins than he could commit. But the real issue was he willing now to get back into the circle of protection? Was he willing to get back to where he was as a young child in his Brahminical household? That was the question. The Lord is very kind. He offers redemption. He sent His Son, Lord Jesus Christ, up on the cross to give us forgiveness and redemption from our sins. But the problem is, if we go out the next day and on the strength of that continue sinning, then there's no hope. That's the seventh offense. Namno baladhi papasya budhi. Who has that mentality is incorrigible. There's no hope for them in this lifetime. To sin and then commit and then confess, get absolution, and then go on sinning on the strength of the absolution. So a meeting was held and they decided to give Ajamil another chance to see if he would get back into the circle of protection or if he would continue to flaunt, to thumb his nose at the Lord and live a godless life outside of the circle of protection. And he did well. He had 2 more years. He went to Haridwar, attached himself to a temple, brought water for the offerings, cut up wood, cut up vegetables, took prasadam, chanted japa, listened to the discourses of the saints and sages, and generally attached himself to them. So that 2 years later, when he died again, he got an entirely different result than he would have had he not chanted the names of the Lord one time. But we caution people, don't try this at home. Don't think that you can live your whole life outside the circle of protection of the Lord and then be a power to chant the name of the Lord at the last minute. It won't work. It will not work. This was a special circumstance created by the fact that he had been, due to good parents and good background in his previous life and good birth and a good pre-adolescence, this is what gave him the opportunity to get back in the circle of protection at the last stage. So don't take advantage of it. There was a religious guy. He was driving down the freeway at 90 miles an hour. And one of his fellow church members was in the passenger seat getting a little nervous. And the passenger said, "Don't you think you should slow down?" And the driver said, Nah, the angel of the Lord is in the car with us." And the passenger said, "No, he's not. He got out at 65 miles an hour." Don't take advantage of it. When Prabhupada was born, it was predicted that he would start a great, great religious movement that would spread all over the world. Now, in Calcutta in the 1890s, there weren't antibiotics. There was a high child mortality. The critical years are the first 3 years of your life, because then the child is going to be assailed by all kinds of bacteria and viruses and things like that. And there were no antibiotics to protect them. Nowadays, we have hardly any child mortality because we have antibiotics. But the problem is, having taken antibiotics as infants, our immune system is not what it could have been. And so we die earlier. We don't live as long. We're not as robust and virile. Whereas in those days, that if you survived the first 3 years of life, you'd live for 100 years and you'd have an iron-strong constitution. So his mother made a vow for the protection of her son that she would eat with her left hand until he was old enough to comment upon it. And her calculation was, when he reached the age to notice everybody else is eating with their right hand, "How come, Mom, how come you're eating with your left?" He would have passed the danger zone. He would be past that critical, dangerous, vulnerable period of time when he would have succumbed, perhaps, to some childhood disease. And having done that, his immune system would be strong and he would live a strong and vigorous life and go on to fulfill the prophecy that was predicted for him. That was her effort, her compact with the Lord to do what she could to help the protection and survival of her son. Prabhupada's father, Guru Mohan Day, he prayed to Lord Krishna, "Also, you protect my son, you help him survive, and I will do my part to make him a great devotee of Radharani." And his father taught Prabhupada the harmonium. He taught him how to play the madanga. He set a good example of deity worship in the home, and he was inspired his son to do Rath Yatra. And so what his father did, you know, every father wants the best for their children. Every father wants to equip their children with the best skills and give them the best chance of protection after the father and mother pass on. So they arrange for their health and their medical insurance, and they arrange for antibiotics, they arrange for a university degree, they arrange for all kinds of things, education, to give their children the best chance of surviving. But no one does a better job than someone like Guru Mohan Day, who teaches their devotees to create, teaches their children how to create a circle of protection around themselves by chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And teaching their children how to brag on the Lord. You cannot brag on the Lord if you don't know who the Lord is. You don't know who the Lord is. So if you teach your children Bhagavad Gita and you teach them kirtan when they're young, they'll have the actual skills, the actual survival skills, whereby they will get a circle of protection around themselves and their children throughout the entirety of their lives. This is what you can do to make your children safe. This is what you can do as a parent above and beyond the material things to make your children safe, you see. Krishna promises that if you stay close to Him, if you stay next to the Almighty, then He will give you protection. But someone might say, "Well, true, you know, if God is so good, I know that He, you know, held up those devotees in traffic and they missed the plane and the plane crashed and they weren't on the plane. But if God is so good, why didn't He just save the plane in the first place? Why did He let the plane crash, you see?" Now, Krishna doesn't promise that He'll keep you from every negative situation in your life. Krishna doesn't promise that no disasters will come. He doesn't promise that your life is just sun-drenched mountaintops. There's also valleys, and we have to go through the valleys to get to the sun-drenched mountaintops. And when you get to the sun-drenched mountaintop, guess what? First thing you see is another peak somewhere else that you have to go down into another valley to get. So the fact is, life is more about valleys. It's more about setbacks. It's more about so-called catastrophes than it is about successes. The times of our successes, when we got that job, we got that promotion, we got that new bride, we got that baby, they're relatively few and far between. Most of life is about waiting around, you see. Waiting around, it's about coping with boredom and not being fully engaged in your job and all those things. So those things are not promised not to happen to a devotee. Many of the same things that happen to non-devotees happen to devotees. That's not the Lord's promise that you're not going to have negative situations. He doesn't promise you're not going to have opposition. He doesn't promise that you're not going to have dark valleys. But He promises that He'll get you through them. He'll get you through them. He didn't keep Prahlad from being thrown into a vat of boiling oil. He didn't prevent Prahlad from being put into fire by Holika. But He brought Prahlad through it. He brought Prahlad through it. We had a family in Salt Lake City, Avatar Singh and his wife. And whenever we have festivals, they cook a lot of rice and chana and bring it to the temple. And they have a Ford minivan. So one Sunday morning, they loaded up their Ford minivan. Their family piled in. And they drove the 50 miles to Salt Lake, unloaded all the kheer and the chana and the rice and everything. And then they went back. We had some art tea and we, you know, gave them some prasadam, some charamrita, some tikka. So with the tikka on, with the charamrita in their bellies, with the service behind them, they'd gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They're going back to Salt Lake City and they got behind a truck that was loaded with some paraphernalia and it wasn't lashed down properly. And the things came off the truck and smashed the car. The Ford van was total. So Avatar comes to me later and he says, "True, why did Krishna let this happen?" I said, "Avatar," I said, you're unharmed, right? Your wife is unharmed. Your children, you walked away from it. Krishna didn't promise that the accident wouldn't happen, but He promises that He'll protect you. He'll get you through that, like that. If we simply choose to live in faith rather than fear and thank Krishna for what we can see and also for what we can't see and thank Him for that which is obvious, but also thank Him for the things which are not so obvious as well. You know, 5,000 years ago, Krishna did not prevent the Pandavas from dark valleys. And there was an attempt to poison them. There was an attempt to burn them in the house of lack. There was an attempt to steal their wife and kidnap their wife. There was a successful attempt to cheat them of their vast kingdom and send them into exile for 13 years. Krishna didn't prevent these things from happening to the Pandavas. But He did get them through it. Before the great tsunami, the great maelstrom, the bloodbath of the Kurukshetra War, in which 6,400,000 soldiers lost their lives, Kunti went to Krishna before and she said, "Krishna, will you keep your circle of protection around my sons in this circumstances? I know that Bhishma, Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, Duryodhan, all these Maharajas, they're going to be trying to kill my sons because they know that when my sons, even one of my sons is dead, they'll have won the day and won the war. So there are going to be 6,400,000 soldiers among them, 7 Maharajas who can kill 10,000 soldiers a day, completely focused on killing my 5 sons." So Kunti says, "How powerful is your circle of protection, in fact? Is it powerful enough that they can withstand that?" And Krishna says, "Psh, psh. Nobody can penetrate the circle of protection. If Lord Brahma, if Holika, backed by Lord Brahma, couldn't do it, if Hiranyakashipu, backed by the creator of the universe, couldn't do it, if Indra couldn't inundate the forest of Vrindavan, if Brahma didn't understand what happened when he stole the cows and coward boys," he said, "no Maharaja or ordinary soldier is going to be able to lay a hand on your sons. They're fully protected by my circle of protection." And indeed, after the 18 days of the war, everybody perished. Only on the Kaurava side, Kripacharya, Kritavarnan, and Ashwatthama. They were the only survivors. Everyone else perished. Everyone else on the Pandava side perished. But those 5 Pandavas walked through unscathed. Unscathed. And Kunti said, "I'm going to have to
kneel a little bit differently here. So my hip.
Kunti said, after that, she said, the sun may one day grow cold, the moon may one day get hot, but the circle of protection that the Lord has drawn around His devotees will never be breached. It will never be penetrated. Even by Bhishma, Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, what to speak of some terrorist, some drunk driver, or some cancer cell. Say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my tower, my deliverer. When things start going against you, when you get opposition, when you get negative circumstances, think that I've got a hedge of protection that no enemy can cross. And then, eventually we have to die. Things happen, you know, we all come to the end of this life. But what is death? The poet John Donne, if I can remember it, vital spark of heavenly flame, quit, oh, quit this mortal frame, trembling, hoping, lingering, flying, oh, the pain, the bliss of dying. Cease, fond nature, cease thy strife, let me languish into life. What does this sister say? What does this angel say? Sister spirit, come away. What does this absorb me quite, steals my senses, shuts my sight, draws my spirit, draws my death? Tell me, O soul, can this be death? The world recedes, it disappears. Heaven opens on my eyes and my ears. Death, where is thy sting? There is no death for those who are protected by the Lord. He created you to be deathless. You see, never was there a time, Krishna says, when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall ever cease to be. So God loves you so much. He wants you to survive. He wants you to survive beyond the universe. The universes may come and go, but you will never, ever perish. You are created by your loving Father to be eternal. That worst case circumstance, only your body can be destroyed. But the soul cannot be burned by fire, cannot be withered by wind, it cannot be drowned by water, and it cannot be cut by any weapon. So your loving Father created you in such a way that you are, by nature, constitutionally, indestructible. In Yellowstone, the Great American Park in the United States, there was a few years ago, there was a devastating fire that swept through thousands and thousands of acres of parkland. And the forest rangers were sifting through the rubble and the smoke was still rising. They came upon a bird who had been scorched by the intense heat and almost made into a petrified. It's almost like she was a statue. Very graceful, very beautiful, very eloquent. And they wondered, what is a bird doing? I mean, understand, snakes and gophers, they cannot outrun the fire. They all perish. But a bird, all it has to do is flap its wings and it outruns and goes above the danger. Why did this bird stay here and allow itself to perish in the fire? Why did she do that? And as they were watching, from underneath the wings of the bird, three little chicklets stuck their heads out. So that fire had raged across thousands of acres of forest, burning red hot, molten hot. And that mother bird had gotten her baby birds in there, and they were comfortable, and they weren't hot, and they weren't scorched, and they were shielded by the protective wings of the mother. So she could have flown away and saved herself, but her maternal instinct inspired her to sacrifice herself for those who sheltered under her wings. So where does that instinct come from? God is that absolute truth from which everything comes. So that instinct, which is embedded in every parent and every mother and every father to protect their child, even at the cost of their own life, that instinct comes from Krishna. That's where it comes from. And so if we shelter, and He's got His wings open, an invitation to shelter under there, and nothing can touch us. Nothing can happen to us. So if ignoring that, we prefer to trust the government, or trust our driving skills, or trust the doctors, or trust the politicians, well, honestly, whatever happens to you, you got it coming, don't you? How foolish can one be? Not that we ignore these things totally, but hey, where does our real protection lie? What is it that really, really makes us safe? No matter how hot the fire, Krishna will never abandon us. We have peacocks in Utah. We have about a dozen peacocks on the property. And it can get cold in January and February. So the mother peacock, she'll jump up on the balcony, and the baby peacocks will come under her wings. And sometimes there's a wind, sometimes there's snow. But the baby peacocks aren't feeling any of that. They're warm and they're dry underneath the wings of the mother. So if negative things may come, enemies may come, opposition may come. There may be explosions all around, but if you're in the secret place, nobody can penetrate. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, thank you for being my guardian against all evil. If you can do this, he'll be present to protect you, coming and going, now and forever. And every one of you will live a long life, and in doing so, fulfill your God-given destiny in peace and safety. If you will with me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any questions or comments?
Prabhuji, you gave a very wonderful class. I'll tell you one example. One comment. About 20 years back, when I was living in Sydney, I was going to throw some grains into the ocean. So I came out of the car and was walking toward the beach, toward the ocean. And a very big black dog came towards me. And I thought, I'm gone today. And I just remember rushing there and immediately went up. This is the potential of the devotees. Absolutely.
Thank you for that example. Even you may not remember, Krishna will not forget. In the Upanishad it says, Lord, please remember all my service, because I'll probably forget it, but you know everything. Any other questions or comments?
We used to go around the block and chant, and he ran a flower shop, and he just hated it when we would get within earshot because he couldn't communicate with his customers. And it was only a few seconds when we passed, and he just hated it. He hated it. But, you know, we went by every day, and eventually he would hand us a flower every time we passed and smile. So sometimes not only your enemies will not be able to harm you, but they'll actually end up offering you assistance. Their hearts will be changed, and they can even become, your enemies can even become your friends. If you keep in faith, trust the Lord. That's what I heard. That's what I was told. They officially, by phone or by letter or by representative, I don't know the detail, they've officially, is it true, Aniruddha?
Yeah.
It's true. What are the details? Do the devotees know that?
after this. We have very good relations with the girls now. You know, a few years ago, one of our girls was doing book distribution and she was having a bad day and she didn't get a donation from somebody who took a money back either, and she tried to take the book back. But there was a council officer nearby who saw the whole transaction, and she spoke to the lady and she said, "But you know you're not supposed to take the book back. I think what you need to do is go back to the temple, you know, and have a bit of a break." So she then rang up the temple and said, "I just had a chat with one of your girls and told her that she needs to come back to the temple today. I just don't want you to be hard on her." We now have the council officers instead of harassing us, they make sure that we're doing our second home properly. And these days, the devotees can't come to the book. You know, it's always been illegal, and it still is. But these days, the devotees can do sankirtan in devotional clothes and, you know, book distribution. And the council don't mind. So long as we are polite and treat people respectfully, then they're actually like it that we're doing.
Our God is a great God. And His works are a wonder to behold. Yes.
Last week, when police inspector, lady police inspector, bought Bhagavad Gita from me.
That's a bit of a challenge.
We were harassed in Sydney for a while too. We used to, they used to pull up in the paddy wagon and jump out, and then we'd all run, and it was usually, they'd only usually arrest two people, the one that had to take the books and the one that was carrying the mandanga. one day they got us all, and they had about 6 or 8 women in the women's section, and then we had about 10 or 12 men in the men's section. And then we were just doing kirtan. They would do Hare Krishna and we would respond, you know, echoing through the halls back and forth and back and forth. And the guards became very, very positive and favorable, and they would encourage us, "Do you need any water? Can I bring in any drink? You know, you need to lubricate your throat." And one of the Sydney City Council guys whose job it was to put us in jail and write us citations, when we were in Paddington Street, we were right by a bus stop, and this fellow would come every night, and he would very humbly in his uniform attend Mangalarti and give a donation and apologize for, you know, he had no choice but to do his job. Our job is just to stay in faith. Our job is always trust the Lord, believe in His protection, be faithful to Him. That's all we have to do. He does everything. He'll use us as an instrument. He'll fight our battles. He'll defeat our enemies, or He'll change their hearts and make them friends. We only have one tiny little thing to do. That's it. It's just stay in faith. That's all we have to do. That's all we can do. We're just 1/10,000 the size of a tip of a hair. We don't control anything. He controls everything. All we need to do is attach ourselves as an atom at His lotus feet. And then everything will be there. Our innermost heart's desires will be fulfilled beyond your greatest imagination. Our imagination is not great enough to view what Krishna has in store for us. If you stretch your imagination, think of the most wonderful, greatest, possible, glorious thing that you can do for God and for humanity. It's your imagination is not big enough or strong enough to come up to His level. You see, He will do things beyond your imagination if you just stay in faith. Any other questions or comments?
Tomorrow I'm looking forward to Chitralekha regaling us with stories about Upendra, who was the original devotee here, and I certainly wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him, and many of us might not be here had it not been for Upendra coming on the orders of his spiritual master to Australia. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow morning's class. Yes. Yesterday's class was the same as today's. Or do you mean the morning class?
Morning.
Oh, okay.
You said unregulated schedule gives your passion for Krishna consciousness. Can you explain a little bit more?
We used to have in Sydney, there was a devotee from New Zealand. His name was Bajanavi. Has anyone ever heard from him afterwards? Bajanavi, he was a New Zealand devotee. And he was a little older than us. And we would have the Sunday feast, and Bajanavi would eat, I don't know, 4 or 5 plates of halva. So, and he wasn't a big guy, he was just like about your size, you know. And then and then Monday morning, devotees would get up, you know, there'd be just this lump, you know, with a blanket pulled over his head, you know. And then Bajanavi, time for Mangalore, and he said, Oh, I think it's brain damage. And that would go on. He'd eat the Sunday feast, and then he'd get up for Mangalarti Tuesday morning. And it went on for months and months and months. I mean, Prabhupada said, when you give up illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, you know, then your only consolation is halva. But he kind of took that, you know, further than most people would take it. So there's an example and a memory as well. See, yukta haravya, don't eat too much, don't eat too little. Don't sleep too much, don't sleep too little. I remember, you know, Prabhupada used to say 6 hours. If you sleep more than 6 hours, you're in the mode of ignorance. So I was a temple president in Sydney, and, you know, I was very strict. I slept only 6 hours. But I was pretty grouchy in those days. I was pretty grouchy, you know, a little hard to get along at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So maybe, I don't know, 6 and a half, or sleep 6 hours, but take a nap in the middle of the day, you know. Be a little kinder to yourself. Some people can sleep 6 hours and it's fine. But some people might have to take a little bit more. If you find that you're grouchy and hard to get along with, try and work a little nap into your schedule, you know. Don't sleep too much or sleep too little. Try and find out what's right for you. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Jai Nishingade, Jai Prahlad Maharaj, Jai Nishingade Chaturdasi, Mutsava.